Welcome to AI Home Podcast, the first podcast for real estate resources and independent living strategies for the disability community. Why? Because accessibility is home. Hi, I'm Angel Fox, blogger, author, and your host. Please stay tuned to the very end to learn about my free handouts and, more importantly, how answering the call to action I will give you at the end can, well, lower the kitchen sinks, but raise the bars for disability home ownership. Now, let's begin. When was the last time you were walking around the neighborhood and you found yourself using a sidewalk ramp? And when you got to your final destination, like a restaurant or some other commercial building, did you ever pass by a fire exit? Why am I talking about sidewalk ramps and a fire exit? It's because, believe it or not, both impacted and caused systemic changes in disability housing by our first she hero, the great Judy Heumann. It is with a very heavy heart that I announce that Judy Heumann recently just passed away in early March, like about 3 weeks ago. For many, including myself, she was considered the godmother of the disability rights movement. In fact, she passed just a few days before I, a full-time wheelchair user, traveled to the West Coast to be in the Las Vegas, Sin City for the Podcast Evolution Conference. I knew that because of Judy Heumann, I had the right to travel by air, use a taxi, and had access to an accessible hotel room while I was there. I am personally shocked that she is no longer with us. Miss Heumann, or as she liked to be called, Judy, was born in 1947 in New York City. She got polio as a child and could have been, like so many disabled children of that time, destined to be in an institution instead of an elementary classroom. Her principal, in fact, fought against her integration into the classroom because, according to him, the principal, he was concerned that the wheelchair would be a fire hazard. Remember, this was before the time when there were electric wheelchairs, at least in the mainstream. Wheelchairs at that time were manual. So I don't think when Judy's principal was referring to the wheelchair as combusting as being a fire hazard, because it was an electric wheelchair. Instead, he was referring to the idea that the other children would trip over the wheelchair in an emergency, or the wheelchair would block the hallway somehow, like the other chairs in the room is not a factor, really. Luckily for her, her parents did not follow the conventional wisdom of that time and saw the fire hazard as what it truly was, a dog whistle for segregating their disabled child, plain and simple. Judy continued her education beyond the elementary years and eventually received a master's at the UCLA in Berkeley, California, and never forgot the impact of children's education. In fact, she became a school teacher in New York. Unfortunately, history repeats itself, and she had to sue the New York Board of Education to become a teacher. And guess why? Two words: fire hazard. It was a fire hazard excuse, but only this time, the Board of Education added concerns that she could not assist getting the children out in an emergency. I don't think teachers are carrying children out one by one. That's called the fire department. Again, it was merely a dog whistle excuse and did not win, and she became the first disabled teacher in New York. Judy's fire hazard dilemma was not unique to her or the students at UCLA which she attended, but this time she was not alone. While Judy is considered the godmother of disability rights movement as a whole, the godfather of the independent living movement was Ed Roberts. The independent living movement should not be confused with what the disability community calls All Independent Day. The independent day for the disability community is the anniversary of the passing of the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990 July. The independent living movement was decades before the ADA and fought the idea that individuals with disabilities could not live outside institutions because that's where traditionally they lived. As Judy discussed in her August 28, 2011 speech at the Independent Living Institute, I'm a proud member, Ed Roberts and her and other students believed they could do anything if the barriers were just removed. Simple concept. UCLA, however, the university, initially did not agree with that concept and stated that the students' housing could not accommodate wheelchairs. Roberts, Judy, and others found an abandoned nearby hospital wing to call them as their own dormitory. Its popularity among wheelchair students soon grew, and guess what? The fire hazard excuse of having so many wheelchairs on one floor reared its ugly head up again. The students successfully overcame this hurdle and many more, creating the first park ramps on the university and in the city, and created the first independent living center on campus that is now a national standard. If you want to hear more specifically about Ed Roberts and the independent living movement, please listen to my other episodes. I talk a lot about him. Judy's impact was more than on educational system or even the independent living movement. She also helped with the passing of the Rehabilitation Act, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which my mother studied when she was in college, and the Americans with Disabilities Act. For me, I got to meet Judy this past summer, and in December, in relationship to the Together International Organization. Together International Organization provides training and resources to help disability entrepreneurship, not employment, just entrepreneurship. Isn't that cool? I participated in the DC Cohort Summer Accelerated Program, where I helped establish my startup company, Horizontal Houses, where we lowered the kitchen sinks but raised the bars for disability home ownership. At one of the sessions that we had, Judy graced the class with her presence virtually through Zoom. I am so glad I took the opportunity to ask her questions then. I later got to see her in person when Together International was celebrating the 10th anniversary in DC, my hometown. I will never forget me, Judy. If you want to read more or contribute to her advocacy that will live beyond her, please visit www.judithhuman.com. Please check out the documentary Crip Camp on Netflix. The other she hero is Eleanor Smith. Ms. Smith is the founder of Visibility Movement. Visibility Movement is the idea that you can make more change for accessible housing by focusing on new housing development. According to the Ragged Edge magazine article on visibility.org, Eleanor Smith started focusing on accessible design more than 30 years ago in 1986 in Atlanta, Georgia. She was concerned that private residential homes were not accessible for wheelchair users. In fact, they're still not. She knew change had to be from the construction up. She was no novice to disability advocacy, though, saying that she was involved with a successful campaign run by the organization ADAPT, a ADAPT campaign to have every city bus have accessible lifts. As a side note, I highly recommend everyone get involved with ADAPT. They were actually created by Ed Roberts, Judy, and the other students at UCLA. Small world, huh? Nope, I love the disability community. Eleanor Smith used her network and created Concrete Change. Concrete Change is a way to emphasize accessible housing that comes from the construction up. Since Eleanor Smith knew the impact of providing a bus with a lift, that no longer required to use steps, she decided that it was going to be one of the things that she included in Concrete Change, that there will be zero steps into the home. Concrete Change was just that, a way to make change. It became a movement when Eleanor Smith learned from a Japanese architect, of all the people, a Japanese architect that had said, hey, did you know that disabled European activists were using the word visibility? In the U.S. at that time, the focus was what we call basic access or barriers, because barriers is language within the Fair Housing Act Amendment. With the visibility strategy, it shifted the idea strictly from the perspective of a disabled person merely living in an accessible home, but also now focusing on the idea that disabled people might visit other people. Imagine that. I myself grew up having to host all my friends' parties at my house because I knew I could not visit their homes. I couldn't get into them. Visibility also creates the undertone of value by emphasizing being visible rather than focusing on the construction concept of a barrier. Visibility.org states that there are three things that must be included to have a home that endorses visibility. One is having at least one zero-step entrance. Two, doors with 32 inches of clearance. And three, at least one bathroom on the main floor that you could get into if you're a wheelchair user. Because imagine that, we might want to have to pee. For more information, please visit visibility.org. Eleanor Smith's impact still continues, even though she has retired Concrete Change Organization. Congresswoman Tammy Duckworth, in 2002, introduced the Eleanor Smith Inclusive Home Design Act. Like so many bills in Congress right now, it has been introduced but not vetted through the committees or a vote. But you can still help. How? How can you be the next hero? Five simple things. One, you can sign the petition for the passing of the Eleanor Smith Inclusive Home Design Act on change.org. If a certain amount of petitions for a petition is met on change.org, it will be forwarded to the president's office for consideration. So it does have an impact. Two, you could call or always email your congresswoman or congressman and asking for support for accessible housing, whatever that may look like to you. Three, you could reach out to new building developments. Literally, you could just be driving around your city and ask them to include accessible floor plans. There are plenty right off the shelf that you can even buy and give to them, and they don't have to hire an architect. Four, you can reach out to Habitat for Humanity and other organizations you know that help build homes and ask them to include visibility requirements. And five, many counties have committees, and many of these committees require a resident of that county. So volunteer your time on these committees. There's housing committees, there's veterans, or any other committee likely to impact your local disability community, even if it doesn't have anything to do with housing. Why? Many of these committees cross-pollinate, and representation is so crucial. So those are five things. But if you can think of something, the final call to action I have, because I always like to end with that, is let me know other ways that you have campaigned and be that she hero or she hero ally in accessible housing. Thank you. After listening today, disability home ownership is that much closer. Whether you are a wheelchair user or a worker in the housing industry. But there's so much more I can provide you through horizontalhouses.com. Horizontalhouses.com is the hub for all things related to disability home ownership. You will find my blog, this podcast, my book, and how my consulting services can help real estate agents or housing developers market and tap into the largest minority group, the disability community, all of which come from real-world experience as a working-class, lifetime paraplegic who bought her first home during the Great Recession and successfully modified it. please help me continue this exploration of disability home ownership by connecting through my Facebook page, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest accounts by either searching for horizontal houses on these platforms or visiting directly the horizontalhouses.com website. Most importantly though, please subscribe to the email distribution list located on the website so you don't miss out on any updates I may have. Remember, sharing our collective experiences will allow us each to lower the kitchen sink but raise the bar for disability home ownership. Thank you!